B-Pod Studios.
The app. Get the Sports Hub. Get Toucher and Rich. Down. Download the Sports Hub app today.
.985 the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich, and there's going to be legalized gambling and sports gambling here in Massachusetts, right? They're going to do it here?
It's looking like it's set to be almost probably timed perfectly for when the Encore opens. Everything I've been reading is saying that it's going to be early summer, and I think the Encore opens like June 19th, somewhere around there. So you would have to think that if there were people who are fairly powerful, would probably try to make that union happen, wouldn't you think?
Yeah.
Okay. So, but more than likely, it's going to happen by the beginning of the summer. It's already happened in a bunch of places like Atlantic City. I think they were the first one on the East Coast to do so. But now that it's being legalized everywhere, it's kind of like what you're seeing with marijuana all over the country in little pockets here and there. It's been approved, but then you have to find out who gets the money for it, and it takes a while for all that to become actually a reality in each state, in each city. So this documentary called Action that Showtime has, it's a four-part docuseries, and it's about what's going to happen and a look into the lives of some of like, basically goes and breaks down who are these odds makers, who are the people in Vegas who make all of these lines, and even like the nerdy parts of it, the numbers guys. But the first episode starts with a bang. It's about the people who do this for a living. The guys who don't just gamble on games for fun. They do this in order to make a paycheck. And it doesn't just talk about the glitz and the glamour, the people you see over in, like, you know, Caesars. They go like 8 miles off the strip, and they interview some of the people who like live in the hotel and just go downstairs and gamble on the games all day and then go back upstairs go back downstairs.
It's
again.
Like a miserable existence. It just is, you know, crunching numbers and just sitting at some garbage hotel.
And then there's, and in this world too, and I would love to hear Joe Murray's take on all this. There's real people and there's phonies. Let's start with one of the real guys. I love this dude. His name is Bill Crack Krackenberger. And the series starts with
him.
Because
he just loves crack.
Apparently so.
And okay.
Bill Crack Krackenberger is this fairly large gentleman, bowling shirt, and he's got the fat guy Kang hole hat.
Oh,
you know,
Jesus.
The one that Bruce Arians likes to rock?
Yeah.
And he is going from casino to casino because he's got this computer program that tells him which casinos he can get the best deal on, like shaved lines, who's giving the best odds, and he goes from one to the next one. So here he is talking about how he wheels and deals all around Vegas.
Dude. All right, hang on. Let me try this. It's not working again.
I'm an ass man.
Maybe he is.
Maybe he is an ass man.
Yeah. Dan's coming in. We'll get this thing going.
Apparently, episode 2, which I have not seen yet, episode 2 talks about the people in Atlantic City, which to me would be even more fascinating than the guys that do it in Vegas.
You're never going to be able to tell who's who because they're all going to have Mets jerseys.
Well, they tease it a little bit, and they show like a couple of the people who went there when they first opened. Like, the cameras were there on opening day. And you're right, Fred. I mean, it's pinky rings, it's Mets jerseys, it's bare feet. I mean, it's everything that you imagine like Atlantic City would be.
Yeah. Oh, no, I've gambled in Atlantic City.
It's not imagining. I've seen it. That's pretty much spot on.
That whole thing is froze, baby.
Nice.
Well, you know what you should do in the meantime?
Just text NUT to 696969.
Just text NUT, baby.
Yep.
To 696969.
We're all better people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The betting in Atlantic City is gambling. It's $5 tables and people screaming at you for screwing the deck, which is always a big pain.
I have to wonder how much money do you think, because I don't think we've ever asked, and I don't know if this is taboo or you shouldn't do this. Like, I wonder how much like money Lifshatz gambles on an average Super Bowl, like on a Sunday, like not Super Bowl, on an average NFL Sunday. How much money do you think he has riding during that one day?
Well, they told us how much they had on a certain game, but they told us off the air.
and they used a term for it that I can't remember. All right, let's see if this is it. No.
Oh, jeez. You got to be kidding me.
Mm. Not kidding anybody.
All right. Well, we will get to that, I'm sure, a little bit later on.
Yes.
That is what a kick in the nuts.
I'm looking forward to this.
I don't know.
Did you see the Rock and Tom Brady palling around yesterday?
Oh, Jesus.
I did not, but they were probably both getting silly. Did the Rock also threaten to retire?
No, he did not. And the world like freaked out, but they didn't. He posted a Photoshop. But my good friend Tom Brady just texted me and said he's retiring. What a career. Also, he's joining Twitter. Good to see him comply with our dress code. He loves his new fanny pack. And then he posted Tom Brady's head on that famous photo of the Rock with his little turtleneck and the cool chain that he was wearing back in the day.
All right, what the hell is going on with that? With that, these guys tweeting.
Did you hear about the thing that John Oliver did on the WWE?
Yes.
Did you watch it?
No, I did not.
It was excellent. It was a takedown of Vince McMahon and how he's got these guys who wrestle for him in the worst possible like scenario in order to screw them over. So I guess the WWE, and I didn't realize this, for years, maybe since he took over, has had these guys not as employees, but as independent contractors.
Yeah.
Now, by law, an independent contractor can basically work anywhere else at any, you know, they can do any other type of job. However, this is a weird thing that the WWE has them under contract for, is that they pay them like an independent contractor, but they have a clause where they specifically can't work for anybody else but the WWE, which is like against all sorts of crazy laws. So as an independent contractor, they don't have to pay for any health insurance. They don't have to do any kind of liability. As a matter of fact, if you miss more than 6 weeks due to any kind of injury, even one that is caused by the promoter or the WWE, they have the right to fire you. Whatever your contract is. And there was a story that had CM Punk, where CM Punk got a concussion, like a really bad concussion, before he was supposed to fly over to Europe and do a bunch of shows over there. So he's with the doctor, and the WWE's doctors are talking to him, and they said to him, they said, hey, this isn't real. You think you're going to be okay to go to Europe? What do you think? And he goes, man, I got a concussion. He goes, yeah, maybe. You think you might be able to go to Europe? And he's like, I knew at that moment that I was screwed. And I said, all right, I'll go to Europe. The next match, he's in Europe, and he gets in this headlock, and he actually craps himself on television.
It happens all the time.
He crapped himself on television.
Like a cat being squeezed.
And he tweeted about it. He said, I just crapped myself on television on SmackDown. Please retweet.
Well, the best thing ever is if you watch, and this is absolutely true, if you watch the match between Hogan and the Iron Sheik in the first WrestleMania, the Iron Sheik is aroused during about half of it.
Oh, you showed me a picture.
Oh, yeah. If you watch it, I mean, there's no doubt about it. The Iron Sheik is having the time of his life. Like there's maybe it's the friction of the camel clutch or something of that nature, but he is straight up aroused.
Oh, and they had old interviews of Vince McMahon, too. And that guy, man, what an a-hole. Did you see the interview he did for 60 Minutes where, not as an act, he like knocked the script out of the guy's hand? He got so pissed about them asking about these wrestlers, and he was like, do you feel any kind of responsibility for all of these wrestlers dying at an early age? And he got so pissed off at the question that he reached and smacked the script out of the guy's hand. And it wasn't like a work. This wasn't something for WWE. This was actually a 60 Minutes interview, and he did that. And there's also like a really horribly embarrassing a clip that aired on SmackDown or Raw, I'm not sure which one, where you had Vince McMahon talking to John Cena, and he goes, great job, John Cena. And he goes, my N-word, and says the N-word. And walks away. Oh, yeah. And he walks away, and then Booker T looks at him and shakes his head. Like, that actually happened, and they aired that on TV.
God. Well, Vince McMahon's probably got a lot going on.
That Attitude Era was nuts. When WCW and the WWE were going up against each other, and just WWE said, WCW, you can be the family-friendly one. We are going to go nuts. There was a punishment that they did for Vince McMahon where the Rock took his head and shoved it into the butt of another one of the wrestlers for like 30 seconds.
Dude, they had
jammed it. Like, it was like gratuitous. And John Oliver kept showing it over and over. But they jammed it into the rear, like real far into the rear end.
They had an old lady give birth to a hand.
Well, that's great. I mean, that was phenomenal.
That was the last wrestling match I watched, or the last wrestling thing I ever watched. was when I knew that that lady was going to... Who'd she get impregnated by?
Oh, I don't remember. I don't remember.
Mark Henry. Henry impregnated. It wasn't the Fabulous Moolah. It was her tag team partner.
Oh, jeez.
Mae Young. And then they sat down and they were very excited that she was going to have a kid. And it turned out that it was a human hand. All right. We have Vox Pro going together, getting together. We have that working now. But Chris Forsberg from NBC Sports Boston is going to join us and talk a little Celtics.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Watch Toucher and Rich on Twitch. Follow the Sports Hub on Twitch.tv for live shows and reruns. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub with Toucher and Rich. Young Sickweed Nicholas went out to Brookline yesterday to talk to some people about what they feel... their opinions on the electronic scooters, along with some other issues.
I already saw a multitude of accidents in the community hours after they put those things on the streets.
Because it's amazing. Idiotic. It's absolutely idiotic and completely unnecessary. Chris Forsberg, on the other hand, very necessary. He covers the Celtics for NBC Sports Boston. He joins us now on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. And Chris Forsberg, first things first, Kyrie Irving last night finding a young DJ Pauly Delvecchio in the stands and getting him a little dab.
Real recognize real.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. Now, does that mean DJ Pauly Delvecchio is in town? Because they were telling us that we were supposed to get him. He is in town, Bird.
He's got to be in town.
Is he in town to play?
Oh, I see.
Yeah, he was. I saw someone on Instagram posted that he was DJing somewhere last night, so he's a busy man.
See, it was supposed to be part of the contract with the Grand that we would get DJ Pauly Delvecchio every time he was going to be there.
This is a very big deal for Fred, Chris. It's a very big deal.
Are you required to say his full name every time?
No, I just say it so people know what time it is, but like...
Real versus real. Let me say,
can I tell you my favorite part though? Kyrie, like, he got fouled and he was actually walking away, and then he turned back to go dap him up. And this is Kyrie, who said he does not, like, he would not want to be on any reality TV show because he hates the genre as a whole. So, but still, it was Pauly D. So,
I mean, when it's Pauly D, you have to respect it. It gets a little bit. He's just far more than a reality star. I'm a little pissed at the Grand.
You should be. I think you should place a phone call, Fred. Usually when you do this, magic happens. You know what I'm saying?
Unsolicited. And it was unsolicited. Yeah. They just said that they were going to have him on. My daughter would be losing her mind right now.
Not just your daughter, right? I mean, your son, too. Your family interested in Jersey Shore, correct?
The Jersey Shore is me, basically my daughter and I.
Oh, okay.
Are the big fans. Right.
I overspoke then, yes.
Yeah, we have seen every episode together.
Very good.
All right. Chris... this situation with Indiana and being and them flipping seeds and things like that, how important is that to you?
It's not hugely important. Like, I think the Celtics are the more talented team because obviously that Indiana doesn't have Victor Oladipo, and I think that ultimately if the Celtics play to their level of talent that they should win that series regardless of where it opens. You know, my big thing is, like, the Celtics have not made anything easy on themselves this year in any regard, and this is an opportunity for them to start at home, to build some momentum, to just make something a little bit easier than it has to be. And so I'd like to see them finish strong and give us some glimpse of hope that they can sort of figure things out and be the team that we expected in the playoffs. I don't necessarily think it should come at the expense of, like, running your guys super hard over the final week here. I think you need Al Horford to be as fresh as possible. You need Kyrie to take as many maintenance days as he needs. And that's more important for the overall scope of the playoffs. But yeah, it's like, they do have something to play for here, so maybe they can summon the energy and figure this thing out.
And more to your point, Chris, last night at the beginning of the game, the Celtics played the way they were supposed to play, and then in the second half they played like they've always played all year long, and things got complicated again.
You know what the funny part was? Is as they were kind of kicking away that 23-point lead, I was like, I don't know if this would be a top five bad loss of the season.
I know.
They've had so many bad losses that you just, this one would have just kind of meshed with the scenery. But yeah, this is my frustration with the team is that I just don't know on a quarter to quarter, minute to minute basis what you're going to get. And it's hard to think that that's going to translate into the postseason where, you know, competition goes up and these teams are going to be ready and teams are going to be hungry. The idea that the Celtics can just flip this proverbial switch or figure out all that ails them is sort of pie in the sky. And so we'll see. Like, you know, they certainly have the ability. They certainly have the talent. It's just nothing about what we've seen this season leads you to believe that that's going to happen. And yet, I don't know, I guess it would be completely like the 2018-19 Celtics to actually turn things around and be good in the playoffs. So we'll see. There's little pockets of these games that you can take positives from. That start was really good. The Aaron Baines, Al Horford lineup has been good. Gordon Hayward's playing better. But can they get that all to mesh for 48 minutes in the playoffs? And that's the big question.
You mentioned Gordon Hayward. He's playing his best basketball of the season right now. And Jaylen Brown, even though he didn't play last night, he's been playing really well too. So, you know, they do have some people off the bench, or if they choose to start Jaylen for some reason. But they do have guys that are at least being consistent along with Kyrie Irving and Al Horford.
Yeah, again, like there's these little positives that you can take, and even though you haven't seen it for for as long a stretch as you probably prefer, you know, I can go to each guy probably throughout the rotation and give you a reason for hope. But I go back to, I think Al Horford is probably the most important. As much as we even look back last year and say, oh, it was Tatum and Rozier and Brown stepping up, you look at the numbers and the team was really good when Al Horford was on the floor and they were really bad when he wasn't. And that's sort of the theme since the All-Star break here too. For Al to play at a high level, and that knee's got to be right. And if he's there, you know he's going to play well. You know, playoff Kyrie typically stepped up and made big shots. He's going to be motivated after not being out there. You know, all these guys have motivation to go out there and show it. And if they were to somehow catch lightning in a bottle here and finally get this thing together, it's encouraging. You know, the only two players you probably look at right now are Rozier and Morris, and wonder if they can kind of get out of their funks here a little bit and help you out. But you know, maybe that's more of a case of Brad shortening the rotation, leading heavier on guys that got it. You know, that's when your depth has got to help you out here at the finish line.
What is your opinion about Kyrie Irving's attitude over the last 3 or 4 weeks? I mean, I saw you in Philadelphia, and I saw you in Kyrie at shoot around. Said, you know what, I'm going to rest the next couple of games, which is fine, but Brad Stevens hadn't told us that yet. And so you know, that's kind of an odd dynamic. And then you guys went to him after the game last night, and he kind of reiterated his stance. You know, it's just, you know, these games are fine, but, you know, it's the playoffs. We get a chance to prepare differently for everyone. He's, you know, these games are to be gotten through regardless of what seed they have.
Yeah, and like I can see it from the fan perspective. It's got to be frustrating at times. You know, I know people were upset on Saturday when both Al and Kyrie sat out. You know, Al, it made sense because, again, you got a second night of a back-to-back. You don't want to risk that knee injury. You know, Kyrie, they just put themselves in this position to really go at the four seed, and they kind of downshift them again. You know, like part of me says, okay, you know, look at the bigger picture here. You can't trot these guys out and have them on empty going into the playoffs. And yet, if you're going to sit there after games and say, hey, listen, I'm not comfortable being the five seed, then there's some semblance to the idea that you should be out there pushing hard to move up in those seedings and get that four spot. So, you know, it didn't burn them because Indiana lost that night, and they're still kind of control their own destiny here. It really all comes down to Friday night. They win that game. You know, they'll probably be able to rest guys again after that and still get that four seed. But certainly, like, a lot of what Kyrie says it has been, you know, he contradicts himself at times, and that's just part of the package. Again, if he steps up and is great in the postseason, if he's the Kyrie we saw in Cleveland on the big stage, everyone will sort of forget about these little blips and sort of understand that, okay, maybe he did know that he was pacing himself along here for the postseason.
I want to get your opinion about Dwayne Wade, who is obviously going to go to the Hall of Fame, but how do you think he will be seen? I mean, Celtics fans gave him a big round of applause, and it was...
Yeah, what did you think about that?
Yeah.
Celtics fans, over the top, with all
their
applause.
He was a villain. A lot of people remember him wrecking Rajon Rondo's elbow in the playoffs. I mean, and yet he was showered with applause for his last game. Where do you land on him?
I cringed. I thought it was weird. There was a ton of, not even like Miami Heat fans, because I don't know how many Miami Heat fans are out there, but they said there was a lot of Dwayne Wade fans in the building, that they've been following him around on this One Last Dance. And so, okay, I'll buy that. The Heat got some cheers. So, like, there were people in that building specifically to see Dwayne Wade's last game. But, you know, Dwayne Wade has been one of, like, the biggest villains in TD Garden since I've started covering this team, and pretty much ever since he busted Rondo's elbow there in Game 3 in 2011. You know, he's been booed lustily. To hear him get cheered, on one hand, I want to say, good on Boston fans for recognizing a future Hall of Famer and giving him that honor and all that. On the other hand, like, I just don't know how you put the pass behind you that quickly. Like, even Danny Ainge burned him in his little pregame ceremony there, saying, all right, and now I forgive you for Rondo's elbow, even though you just kind of wanted the reference how that was a dirty play. So I'd say Celtics fans should have been conflicted. I thought by the end of the game they would be booing him, you know, let it balance out. But, I guess credit to those fans that took the higher road.
Yeah, credit. That's something that happens. The higher road, in quotations, is something that happens at a lot of Celtics games. A lot of taking the higher road when it comes to cheering. All right, Chris Forsberg, finally, John Wallach is flying out today to get down there to Miami. I take it you will be there, and he usually has no one to dine with.
Oh,
is this something that you'd be? Go ahead.
I am not on this road trip.
Oh.
Otherwise, I would take you to Yardbird, which is maybe one of my favorite restaurants on the road down there in Miami. Believe me, when I joined NBC Sports Boston, I gave them a list of cities I wanted to travel to this year, and they went through and they were like Orlando, Miami, like all the Texas, California. They're like, why all these cities? And I said, because I don't go to cold weather cities.
That's right. So. That's what you got to do.
They saw through that scheme really quickly. So, I wish I was down there with you, Wallach.
Oh, all right. Well, sorry, listen. Well, the odds are stacked against Wallach in terms of having someone to hang out with. Chris Forsberg covers the Celtics for NBC Sports Boston. Thank you so much for the time, sir.
Go track down Pauly D for us all, please.
I'm a little pissed off for real. All right. Thank you, Chris Forsberg.
You got it.
I mean, we were promised. I mean, they promised us. And it's not like Pauly D's probably still up.
Yeah, it's true. He's probably just getting back.
Yeah, if he went to the game and then he went and
to work.
Yeah, then he went to work.
Until about 3-4 in the morning. And you have to work. You don't just go right to sleep, you know?
Yeah, but, okay, Dan's saying not in Boston, but if that game ended, what time did that game end yesterday? Like 11?
No. It started at 7:30, was over by 10:15.
O'clock. Okay, all right, 10 o'clock, say.
Yeah.
I bet he spun 11 to 2, because they can't stay open past 2.
Oh, all right.
All right, so 11 to 2. All right, there you go, your bird. All right, well, listen. Just Sometimes people just don't tell the truth.
You going to be all right?
I mean, it would be a big deal if you came
You're really
in.
Down about this.
It would be, my daughter would like lose her mind.
And she's still home too, you know?
Oh, no, right? She'd skip school to come in here.
Oh, all right.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
She'd skip school.
Yeah.
There's no question about it.
So you don't want Pauly D on the phone. You want him in here.
Pauly D on the phone does nothing.
Okay.
No, I want him in here because I am a fan of the Jersey Shore. He's got a new show coming out, which I won't promote, but he has a new show coming out with Vinny.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter, the people on the Jersey Shore, she likes JWoww, then Pauly D. And that would have been nice. But, you know, he doesn't need the promotion. He's
the odd shot. So what, he's out of town after today? He's leaving?
Yeah, he comes in, he does once a quarter. He comes in and does the club.
All right.
Here are the headlines.
Toucher and Rich.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
That's an app.
Brady won't throw me the ball because he has no trust in me.
Rich.
I have a super dry tongue. Look.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Five Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich at 8 o'clock. We have audio of Nick out where they just allowed those electric scooters, the ones that you stand on in Brookline. They 20 of them, which congratulations, there's 20 people can move around at the same time. And the minute they started trying them out and they had government people ride them, a woman ate it and then had to be taken in first aid. So I have no idea why these things are necessary. I have absolutely no idea why the government did it. I have no idea how the government got it done. You know, things here take so long. Perhaps it's been something that they've been working on for a long time. I mean, I had a friend who tried to open up a restaurant in Brookline, and they were going to let him do it. He built the restaurant. He put the stuff in. He created a menu. And literally the day he was supposed to open, they told him he couldn't make that kind of restaurant. It's going to be a barbecue restaurant. And because of the neighbors, he was not allowed to do it.
Whoa. The neighbors had a problem with him having a barbecue restaurant?
Yes.
Why?
They're behind him was a house full of Hasids, and they didn't want the pork smoke going into their backyard. So there was a fight with the city council. This is all to my recollection. If I got something wrong, then I apologize.
Okay.
But they were complaining about that. So the night before he was supposed to open, him and the chef had to sit down and completely redo the menu.
Oh, what'd they change it to?
Something that didn't work.
Obviously.
Yeah, because you have to open, and then you're like, oh, here's a bunch of crap we threw together. So say that the Hasids have a point, and, you know, it's their right that it goes against the religious beliefs, all of that. At least do it, you know, when
before
the idea
all the
comes
money
to
is
you.
Spent. Yes.
Yeah, at least do it before they put the smoker in back. I told you that story is that the guy was up and he was painting the top of the restaurant they had bought. They had bought the deli that used to be there. They had the guy who owned the deli had moved it out. And the guy I know was up there painting it. And this Hasid came up to him and he was like, hey, I heard this is going to be a barbecue place. And he was like, yeah. Like, he had come down the ladder to shake the guy's hand and the dude just popped him in the face.
I didn't hear that story. You know, I don't think you told that story.
I might have not told it on the air, but I've told that story before.
Wow, I would have remembered that. That's amazing.
So my whole point is,
God punched him in the face.
Yes.
Apropos of nothing. He's just standing there talking to him, and the
apropos
guy punched him in the face.
Apropos of that he felt that the guy had been shady in the way that how he got the deli, even though it wasn't true. The guy who owned the deli wanted to get rid of it and was upset, rightly so or not, about it being a barbecue place because of his religious beliefs.
Right.
And so my point is not who's right or wrong in this situation. My point is that the government waited until the day before this guy's restaurant was going to open to tell him that he couldn't do it.
Yeah.
So that's my point, which is I'm obsessed by how they got these razors, scooters done so quickly. All right. So there's this Rick Riley column. He's written a book about how Trump cheats at golf. And it's going to sell a lot of copies. And I was going to make fun of him. And I still will.
Some of the stories in there that I'm reading from the excerpts aren't bad.
No.
They're funny, actually.
No, like that Trump will hit the ball in the water. And then he'll tee off first. And then he'll jam his cart to wherever the ball went. And he'll just, you know, move the ball. And the best story that Riley puts in it is that that he, and I don't know if this is true or not, but that Trump would play with a can of red spray paint, and he would, if he hit the a tree with his ball, he would mark it with a red spray paint, and then they would cut the tree down.
That's pretty good. I like the story about how he's playing golf with Mike Tirico. He would teed off in a foursome. It was him and Gruden against Tirico and somebody else. And Tirico, according to Riley's story, hit the three wood of his life from, you know, 200 yards out and popped it right on the green. And Trump got up there first, took the ball and threw it in a bunker about 50 yards away. So Tirico, who thought he had hit it on the green, winds up in the bunker. And it turns out that Trump would constantly kick Gruden's ball and his own ball to give himself a better lie. And they got back to the clubhouse, and apparently all the members of the club call Trump Pele because he constantly kicks balls to where they need to go. But so, you missed the interview. You missed the question that the author of the Ringer article asks, you know, Rick Riley, you know, were you worried about writing about Trump? And Riley says, I asked Riley whether or not anyone tried talking about writing about Trump. Now, he didn't talk about Trump's philandering. He didn't talk about Trump's policies and collusion with Russia. He just talked about Trump playing golf, okay? Constantly, Riley said. But don't we have to rise up if we're truth tellers? Don't we have to stand up for what's right, even if your house is going to get firebombed? I don't know what's going to happen to me, but it's all true.
Yeah, he's a lot of trouble. All right, so I can still make fun of Rick Riley later in the show, but this is just further humiliation towards me. All right, so Riley's retired, and he showed up to this interview wearing a shirt that said, "Certainly not everyone is kung fu fighting," which is just like, what else did you buy at the Jersey Shore? And so they go, what is a day like in the life of Rick Riley? And he says, get up, do the crossword, try your luck with your wife. This guy in his 60s. I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what are you, a bad sitcom?
He's an animal.
Is this according to Jim? Hey, honey, have that little roll in the hay. Try your luck with your wife. More coffee than either paddleboard.
Uh-oh.
And he says, do you realize I saw whales 8 straight times last year out here? It's unbelievable. So Rick Riley is going out and paddleboarding.
You saw a whale on a paddleboard. How far out do you have to be to see that?
I don't know. When we weren't far offshore and we saw dolphins.
That's different.
No, you can see a whale.
Can you?
Yeah, not that crazy offshore.
Okay.
But he even can paddleboard. Which brings me back to the horrific memories of my
being towed in by a larger individual.
He wasn't even larger than me.
Oh, just a dude, huh?
Just reminds me of the Turks and Caicos thing that's going to haunt me for the rest of my life.
it is a life-altering episode.
Yeah, it sucks. Yeah. All right, so we'll get more into that Rick Riley article in a little bit. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
For the latest podcasts, for the latest sports news, and for Tutcher and Rich, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
.5 The Sports Hub, we're Tutcher and Rich.
Real quick, when you guys had Chris Forsberg on, I was in the other room having to edit the thing we're going to do at 8 o'clock, but did you ask him about his opinion of everyone cheering and going nuts every time Dwayne Wade hit
the court? He agreed with you.
Oh, good.
It made him sick.
So he did. Good. Because I thought, for a minute, I'm like, am I the only one who thinks this is absurd? Out of all the players that have gone up there.
I think the crowd at the Garden for Celtics games is constantly absurd.
Well, I mean, I can't think of many examples where I was like, all right, well, that's fine. I mean, because they did it with Dirk Nowitzki recently. You know, Tim Duncan, when these guys
retired.
Nowitzki
was different because he couldn't make a shot. And so at the end, the Celtics were up by a lot. So at the end of the game, when Nowitzki was just desperately trying to put something in, and couldn't do it. I mean, the crowd was like, all right, just something go in.
But, like, Dwayne Wade is the dirtiest player to play on that parquet floor in the last decade. He is the dirty – I mean, he is one of the dirtiest players in the league. But the stuff he did in Boston, especially – I mean, ripping – dislocating Rondo's arm in the 2011 Eastern Conference Finals is unforgivable because that was something that he did intentionally to harm him. That wasn't any kind of basketball move. That was an intentional dick move that he did that ended up causing an injury. And listen, I'm not going to go so far as to say that cost them the Eastern Conference to win that round. But it was still a pretty big – I mean, it was a massive injury. I mean, your starting point guard was out after that. So on top of that, thing after thing after thing, I mean, he's done so much dirty crap on that court. And on top of that, he was one of the big three in the douchiest team of all time. It's okay to hate a player. It really is. But for more reasons even than that, even if you're like, okay, well, you know, he played hard. So he was dirty. And he deserves zero respect on that court last night.
I mean, this is the same fan base that cheered while a team was being eliminated. By the way,
when was that?
When they were with
you're talking about when Isaiah was there that first year?
No, it's
That was huge. I mean, that was amazing what they did
that
year.
It's when LeBron had the big boy game and the Heat eliminated the Celtics and the Celtics fans gave
that was not an elimination. That was game six and they were sending him off to game seven. They were up 3-2. It was at home and they were getting killed. And the crowd did a "Let's go Celtics!"
No, it was the last game of the series.
It was something different.
No, I believe that was game six.
You're thinking about a game six where they send them off to game seven. There was another time where Miami eliminated them from the playoffs, and the Celtics fans gave them a round of applause. They were getting blown out.
Was that an Isaiah? Was that an Isaiah Thomas year?
I don't know.
No, it was the end of the big three.
Oh well, that's different.
Nope.
Because this is the end of the big three. We all know it. I understood that.
No,
like, this is the last time we're going to see these three on a court together. Everyone knew it was over after that. That was different.
I don't know. You're going crazy over a loss. But that was most of the conversation. I don't know if you saw this last night, but DJ Pauly Delvecchio from the Jersey Shore was under the basket, and Kyrie Irving gave him a dap. And again, Rich, that he was performing last evening, and we were not told or
that's why I have not talked about him. I did not talk about him this morning. I thought that was a thing. I mean, we've asked him over and over and over to come on, and he hasn't, so why plug his show?
Because I want him on more than anything.
And Fred had some venting to do. Some venting that was needed.
I have worked behind the scenes more than you know to try to get Pauly D to come on the show. And
he's got a new show coming out, too, which I'm not going to plug. But, I mean, he's got a new show. It's no guaranteed hit. Pauly D has had some shows that did not go anywhere.
There's no bigger fan that I know of Pauly D than you.
My daughter.
Well, okay, then you and your family.
Someone's like, wow, I thought your daughter's 9. No, my daughter's 8.
Stupid.
No, but they're like, oh, you let her watch Jersey Shore? Yep.
You're the only guy that I know who still talks about Pauly D.
Because my daughter and I just watched every season.
And for that reason alone, it should be enough for him to come up to the station.
Yeah, to make an 8-year-old girl's like life.
It would be huge PR for him. On top of that, he's just down the street. He's here all the time. I've reached out, Fred. I've reached out a ton, and it's been radio silence.
Because didn't they the venue he plays? Didn't they say they were going to put it in the contract that he had to come in?
Listen, they want him to come. They do, and the people who run that place are good people, and they really want it to work. But Pauly D hasn't agreed to it. He doesn't want to do it.
All right, because there's no guarantee this new show is going to be a hit. He had like the Pauly D Experience, which was like a show that was about his life, and I think it went on for like 6 episodes before it got canceled. So there's no like magic dust outside of Jersey Shore that they can sprinkle on these people and make them stars. I mean, you could use any kind of publicity, especially, I'm not asking, you know, Pauly D to fly in to do the show.
Well, listen, as far, he's loaded, he is. I mean, he makes a ton of money DJing.
But he's still doing these shows.
But I'm about to support your point. The one reason you would want to come in to promote that show, at least, would be because nobody wants to have a flop on their hands.
Right.
Like, nobody wants to have, no matter how much money you have, it's humiliating to have a TV show go up there and get canceled right away.
Right.
So, to promote the show, I think no matter how much money you got, you should come up to the station and, get a little pub up here.
Yeah, because you got a story there where an 8-year-old girl is, you're her second favorite character on the show.
Who's number one?
J-Wow.
Oh, okay.
She's got fake boobs. I'm just kidding. But no, it is JWoww. Because JWoww hit the situation, and she thought that that was great. She thought that JWoww, like a girl hitting a boy, was like fantastic. That she, it was a display of power. Okay. So that is just, so JWoww is number one. Pauly D is number two. And then she likes the meatballs, okay. Diener and Snooks.
The meatball?
Oh, yeah. They're both under 5 feet tall. They call them meatballs.
Okay.
Why? What are you guys doing with your free time?
I watched the first season and it was excellent.
I'm not remember doing how anything nearly as cool.
Oh, dude, the first season Jersey Shore was amazing. I mean, it wasn't quite I Love New York and it wasn't quite Flavor of Love, but it was okay. Right there.
All right. Well, first of all, you're missing...
Oh, Rock of Love.
You're missing Rock of
I mean,
Love.
Okay. Forget about Flavor of Love. Flavor of Love was fine. I Love New York and Rock of Love really set the bar. Those okay. are the twin towers of great
all right.
Infotainment.
Okay, Rock of Love, if you haven't seen it, it's on Hulu. Rock of Love is great because it's just so ridiculous.
Yes, it's absurd.
Like it's absurd. It's just absurd. And people are like, can you imagine the girl he picked in the first season didn't end up with him? Yep.
Yeah, of course.
And then...
Well, the woman who like won, or she either won or she came in second place the first season, looked like her hair was like she was at like a 1987 prom.
Well, they all do. And they were all like, I don't know. But that was ridiculous. See, you can say the Jersey Shore is set up, and I... Granted, they probably put him in some situations, but there's no way they went, hey, guy, hit Snooki in the face. Like, there's no way they went to, like, hey, guy, can you right. hit this woman in the face?
Right.
Fred, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey.
So, Pauly D's not coming on because the word's out. He knows what Fred's going to do. You guys ambush people. Fred's going to put him on the spot. You know, he made T.O. cry over the diving show. Tino.
How could I put...
The word's out.
How could I put Pauly D on the spot? My daughter's going to be here.
I'm not saying you would. I'm just saying that's what his agent's in his ear. He's like, hey, man, you know, these guys up in Boston, this is what they do. They're shock jocks. They make you look like an idiot.
All right. Well, I swear to God I won't make Pauly D look like an idiot.
Comes up here and acts like Jim Gray, we will not do that.
Well, if he acts like Jim Gray, yeah. But there'll be an 8-year-old girl in here. I don't think that you can really you can act like that.
Oh, okay. At DJ Pauly D, if you want to help out, I've got no problem with sicking the army on him. At DJ Pauly D, if you want to let him know that he needs to come on the show,
my daughter's
and make
name
a young
is,
girl happy.
My name daughter's name is Zoe Toucher, and she's 8. She's in second grade. And you can explain that breaking a young girl's heart. He even started to become friends with the ugly stalker that he had on Jersey Shore. Oh, Rich, how the world turns.
I am missing out.
You are. All right. There will be no commercials here, just the headlines. As you know, there are scooters now in Brookline, which is they're doing for some reason. And we had young sickly Nicholas go out and talk to the residents of Brookline about what they thought about that and other issues affecting the community.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.